So let's open the service in prayer. Lord, we just thank you for who you are. We praise your wonderful, mighty name. Holy One, Righteous Father, Loving Jesus, Holy Spirit who ministers to our spirit. We just come before you now in praise and adoration as we open this service, and we just want to give this time to you. Amen.
Now, what I wanted to do, this is not to be threatening at all, and I hope you won't feel it so, but I just want you to write down when I say the subject. It's one of those things. When I say this, what do you first think of? Okay, and I'll give you the word in a minute. And I want you to be honest and write down the first thing that comes into your mind. It can be several words or, you know, a sentence or something. And then I'm going to ask you to fold the sheet over. And then we don't put your name on or anything. And we're going to jumble them all up. And we'll then read some of them out. But so that other people can read what you've written on the paper, perhaps if you could carefully write, so that they'll be able to read. Okay, so what I want you to do is, it's not going to take very long at all, I hope. What I want you to do is to write down the first thing or things that come into your mind when I say praying together. Or it could be, I'll give you another crack, it could be corporate prayer, which means the same thing, but it could carry some slightly different connotations. Okay, once you've done that, fold over the paper. Don't think too hard about it. Fold over the paper. And I think what we could do, maybe, if Rachel and Andy can help me again with you that side, I'll collect up the middle, and somehow we'll jumble them up, and we'll hand them all out again. Okay. So what I'm going to ask you to do, we won't have time to read them all out, but I'm just going to pick on a few people, and hopefully you can read what's on the paper. So just to remind you, the question was, write down honestly what comes into your mind when we say praying together. Paul Dark, can you read yours out, please?
It says, cooperate, one leading, joining in, amen.
Lovely noise.
Tony.
House group, early morning cup of tea.
Okay, thank you.
Being with other people, Jonathan. John. Being with other people.
Jonathan. Oh, sorry. Fellowship, sharing problems.
Okay. Alison?
I think mine was before you gave the second clue, it just says corporate.
Okay. Rachel, have you got yours?
People.
All sharing the same prayers.
Okay. Ruth?
Oh, good. Supporting.
Powerhouse of prayer and power.
Okay. These are all very holy answers.
All focusing on one thing, to discern God's love.
Great. Okay.
Vulnerable.
Pardon?
Vulnerable.
Thank you. You didn't get one. Martin,
I think this is Andy's hymn list, Amazing Grace. A group of people sharing for strength.
Okay. Now, I think I've actually asked most people, has anyone got one that you perhaps wouldn't have expected to read? Have I?
God.
God. What's yours?
Powerhouse of prayer, an opportunity to pray together effectively.
Okay, thanks for that. What has come out of that is that you're actually a bunch of very holy people, and I probably actually don't need to talk to you about corporate prayer. Except there was one that came out that said vulnerable, and I think perhaps it's something to do with the group of people that we actually have here tonight that perhaps most of you don't feel like that. But when we look at the number of people that we have regularly in our church, and then you look at the numbers of people that gather for corporate prayer. I'm not talking about particularly about morning worship, but other opportunities for prayer. The numbers are pretty small, and I suspect that the person that said vulnerable was probably the tip of the iceberg, maybe, because corporate prayer and praying together, praying with other people, is not an easy thing to do, and it takes some it's quite a challenge sometimes. So I think we will move straight on. That took a little bit longer than I anticipated. So over the past few weeks, you've been well aware that we've been having several talks on prayer, different aspects of prayer. Fee spoke 1 week. He talked about just doing it and no qualifications needed. Pete then spoke about the church that is effective in prayer, and different styles of prayer. Dave, if you remember, spoke about the wrong kind of yes. So how we deal with prayers that actually aren't answered in the way that we really wanted to. And then Jonathan last week was talking about praying in the Spirit. And he had some wonderful graphics that you won't see tonight on these slides. You'll see a few. But Jonathan talked about praying in the Spirit and how we actually can't do any of this praying without the Spirit indwelling us. So we're talking about communication. We're talking about two people, two or more people. I include God in that phrase for the sake of argument. Speaking together in conversation. Matt spoke this morning about Abraham and God in conversation. And that's a really nice way of putting it, I thought. Let's just have a look at this video, Martin, can we?
Sorry, there's no way you can help me then, is there?
I've got to get off the phone. Where exactly are you calling from?
from the United States.
England?
Yeah. Well, it's a different town. Twinda was Barnstable, England. Barnstable is going to be about 6 hours.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What a laugh.
I saw that video a few weeks ago when we were in Southampton. I thought I must really include that because it. If you could have just listened to the lady's voice, actually to start with, it sounded quite reasonable, didn't it? She was in a quest to get information over, but at the end she got absolutely nowhere because of one main thing. She was using the wrong number. And actually, the way I did a bit of background on that video, and the way she did it was she Googled it. Actually, this lady Googled Barnstable Police, and you know, Google being US, the first thing that came up was, you know, Barnstable Police. So she just hit it on her phone and got through. But I just feel, you know, that was total confusion. And she got nowhere. And sometimes prayer is like that, isn't it? And we often hear, you know, I try so hard and I don't get anywhere. And my prayers feel like they're bouncing off the ceiling. I find it so hard to pray in groups. Although nobody said that tonight, but I know people do feel that. Tonight, then we're going to talk about the corporate prayer and what actually makes that work. And I'm just going to ask a few questions, really, these are rhetorical mostly questions about corporate prayer. And you know, as we're all so expert in praying together, maybe these are things that you can pass on to other people. So. Can we go on to slide 4, Martin? Is that, yep. Okay. So a lot of these things that I'm going to say actually will have been said before. And you actually can't talk about praying together without talking about prayer generally, because it probably sounds fairly self-evident. But what I'm going to suggest a bit later on is that, you know, our personal walk with God is absolutely essential if we're going to pray effectively as a group. So we've heard a lot about prayer, and it's not just about asking, it's not just about praising, it's not just about listening, but it's about being. And again, I really pleased to hear Matt speaking this morning on and around that idea of actually being, you know, spending time with God, being in his presence. Because when I do that, I become transformed, actually, in that process. I'm made more like him. I think more like God when I spend time with him. It's like we do with other people. And I learn to have more of his compassion and his passion for the lost. And Philip Yancey, who you will all have heard of, has written a book called Prayer, Does It Make Any Difference? And just put the next quote up, Martin. Okay. And in his book, he says that prayer is keeping company with God, which is a lovely way of describing it, I think, because it's not any of those things. It's not a list of things that we so very often practice. And in Matthew 6, this is from the Message. It's really lovely, I think. Jesus is saying, here's what I want you to do. This is about personal prayer. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can imagine. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. Angela and I were talking about this the other day, and she reminded me of when Gary Woodall became Bishop Woodall. You remember he had his special service in Weston, was it Weston? Clevedon. And the speaker there that evening was Jim Graham, or the late Jim Graham, though he died early this year. And one of his pieces of advice to Gary was, you know, we often hear the phrase, don't just sit there, do something. His advice to Gary was, don't just do something, sit there. Don't just do something, sit there. And we can all take that on board, actually, especially me. We do need to spend that time sitting, waiting in God's presence with the object that we are becoming more like him. When we pray, we're not there to twist God's arm. We're to pray in God's will. We're to pray in the Spirit. We're to pray along the lines that God wants us to pray. Don't just do something, sit there. And I said before that, you know, I can't pray corporately without praying privately. My personal prayer life fuels any corporate prayer life that I might want to have. And that is critical. And I would even say that if we attempt corporate prayer, without the personal prayer, without the personal element there, we're becoming dangerously close, I think, to becoming, you know, like, you know, Jesus called the Pharisees in Matthew. He described them as painted sepulchres. Do you remember that? We're dangerously close to being painted sepulchres, I think. All show and no substance. Because to be able to pray together, if you don't have a personal prayer life with God, then what you're doing is acting out. So it's really, I thought, the next slide. Yeah, okay, next click, that's right. So corporate prayer relies on our personal prayer life, and, you know, it forms part of the essential fabric of what the Christian life is all about. And it's the idea of a warp and weft came to mind. When you're weaving, you have is that the warp? I think that's the warp, and that's the weft in a garment. Claire would know this perhaps better than me. Okay, but you have a combination of the warp going that way and the weft going that way to produce the form of the garment, maybe, the pattern, the look, the colour. Everything that goes into that garment can be determined by the way that you weave that garment. But if you look at that, if you take out the weft, and I've called that corporate prayer, if you take out the weft, everything falls apart. Sorry, that one, the warp. If you take out the warp, the personal prayer, everything else just collapses. You can see on that diagram. Everything else would just fall down. So, next slide, Martin, please. Now, I asked Andy to that we could have a couple of songs, specific songs, tonight before I spoke. And just want to ask you a question. That was the one on the left there. Father, I place into your hands the things I cannot do. Looking at that one and the one on the right-hand side, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I wonder if this is a question. This isn't rhetorical, this one. Can you look at those two songs and see if there is any sort of main difference between those two songs that sticks out to you? Not particularly the words themselves, but maybe the style. Yeah, Chris? Yep. The first one is directed to God. The second one is actually, if you look at the words, it's not actually directed to God at all. If you thought about the songs that we sing, that Andy plays week after week, would you say that they are worship? Are they prayers? They're communicating with God, therefore they are prayers, aren't they? Everything that we sing should be.
No.
Malcolm?
Lots of them are telling other people what God
right, like. Okay. I was just going to move on to that. But most of them are actually like the first one there. There are quite a few that actually we should be singing to each other. You know, I've thought this for actually quite a long time. When we sing "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me," we're talking to other people. We're wanting to praise God in what we're saying to other people, but we're saying, you know, I once was lost, but now I'm found; was blind, but now I see. And if you look at all the verses in that particular one, get right to the end. When we've been there 10,000 years, shining as the sun, there's no less days to sing his praise than when we first began. So the point I wanted to bring out here was that, okay, we've sung these songs for years, haven't we? And there are other songs, like one of my other favourite songs is "And Can It Be?" "And Can It Be?" It's another one that actually starts off by, you know, singing it to other people. "And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? Did he die for me? I caused him pain." You know, it's either a sort of meditation to myself or to other people. And when you get to the chorus, that then turns around to God. And it talks about you, amazing. "That thou, my God, shouldst die for me. That you, my God, should die for me." So that's a mixture. Anyway, the point is that we've been singing those songs for years, and perhaps without thinking too much about them, we've not sort of maybe thought in that depth. That's probably just the way my mind thinks. But they're prayer. We would call them prayer. Or we would call them communication, let's say, in a gathering like this. We communicate either that way to each other or that way to God. Next slide, Martin. Yeah, that's the one. So when we're praying in a group, we can either be praying to God, okay, but very often, without realizing it, we're actually communicating with everybody else there in the meeting. We are there to encourage. We're there to support other people. We're there to enthuse other people in what they do. Someone might be listening to our prayer and thinking, "Yeah, Lord, that's just how I would have said it." But it's a communication that way as well as that way. And it just underlines to me the importance of praying together. It's really a bodybuilding exercise, I would say, as well as communicating with God and being in God's presence. So when we sing songs to each other, we're singing songs to God. but we're also singing them to each other about God and about what a great God he is. And that's the same as our prayer. We're communicating with God directly, but we're also encouraging each other. We're building each other up. God ministers to us, and we minister to God and those around us. And that's, in my mind, what a prayer meeting is. And I've said that praying together is not a substitute for praying alone. But in actual practice, I think corporate prayer and personal prayer, they're like pieces in a jigsaw. You know, they're both necessary. Angela knows a lot about jigsaws. I hate them. But I know enough to know that if one of those pieces in the jigsaw can't be found, like one time we pinched one of the pieces that she was trying to, you could never complete that picture. So they all have their own essential part in producing the whole picture. So what's in it for me, Martin? Next one, please. So, say some of the positives about praying together. Saying things in public gives out a loud statement, I think. And it's also a public declaration or recognition of my dependence on God. It's an encouragement for other people. It's an inspiration to pay for other people. And also there's a sense when you say something in public, you mean it. That may not carry for everyone, politicians. But what I was thinking, very often though, if a person in public life has apologized in private, there's for something that they've done, for some misdemeanor, there's often a clamor for a public apology, isn't there? Because somehow, if you apologize in public, that carries more weight. And also it's the same Holy Spirit that is in each of us that makes our hearts rejoice, I think. And as I hear other people praising our Lord and Savior, it weaves us together into this garment. And that's something unique. You don't find that anywhere else to that extent. In this world of ours, of a group of people being knitted together like a woven garment, and prayer is an important element of that. Tim Keller, I don't know if you can see that. Tim Keller is a very well known author and preacher. Says by praying with friends, you will be able to hear and see facets of Jesus that you have not yet perceived. By praying with friends, you will be able to hear and see facets of Jesus that you have not yet perceived. And I was thinking it's a little bit like being in a room with two other people who are having a conversation about something that fascinates you, but that you know very little about. And you're sitting there as the third person in the room, and you're listening to their conversation, and as they're talking together, you're saying, oh, yeah, oh, that's really interesting. And you're building up your knowledge or whatever by listening to them. And I think that's very much like the sort of what happens when we get together to pray together. You sit there listening sometimes, and you're hanging on every word that they say, and sometimes you say, ah, yeah, okay, I've got that, God, thank you, God, for that, which is something that wouldn't happen, perhaps, if I was praying on my own. And also, almost the last slide here, Martin, the next one. Yeah, there's quite a lot when you look. And another reason why we should be doing this is that there's a lot of precedent in Scripture for actually meeting together. There are not many places where it says, "Thou shalt meet to pray," but we can see in the way that people are talking and writing that this is evident in their practice. In Psalm 116, David says, "I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord. In your midst, Jerusalem, praise the Lord." In Acts chapter 1, this was just after Jesus had been had risen or had ascended, and before the Holy Spirit came. All the disciples were with one mind and one purpose, were continually devoting themselves to prayer, waiting together, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So it was a continual thing. It was natural for them to do it. And when Peter was released from prison, Peter realized what had happened. He went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many believers were gathered together and were praying continually and had been praying all night. Okay, so there's a lot of it going on in the Scripture. So that's also another good reason for us to do it. And the last slide there, Martin. And really, I didn't want this talk to be, you know, the ABC of corporate prayer, how to do it, what not to do, what to do. And in fact, it's just reminding me, I brought along this. If you wanted to know how to behave in a prayer meeting, there's loads of stuff on the net, of course. And there's a great one here. There's probably about 36 points here about how to pray in public. number 7, the employment of allegorical style in prayer. Overuse of highly figurative language is to be discouraged and simplicity of form commended. Usage of unsuitably affectionate or intimate language in prayer. The inappropriate use of language, particularly when directed towards the person of the Trinity, ought to be avoided in public devotion. This language, no matter how well intentioned, often has the appearance of being artificial or quaint. That's in my mind. There's some good points in there, but it's not about that. As we said before, our prayer life is about being. Is about being with God. Our corporate prayer life is about being with God and being with God together. So we go on that journey together. So we can only do it by engaging in it. And I just click again. But I think there's many people, I've spoken to many people who have problems with this. You know, they just can't do it. So one of the things that I would say is, you know, try it in a safe environment with two or three people, you know, people that you know. There's nothing wrong with writing down prayers either. There's no particular merit in praying extemporary prayers, I don't think. There's huge parts of the church that never do extemporary prayer anyway. They're all written down. And I don't think that a lot of their prayers are any less than the ones that we pray. And don't think that you have to, you know, write a Shakespeare sonnet. It's not about that. To keep it short and keep it simple. And look on it as an opportunity to bless others and to bless God. I just wanted to finish with a story. In fact, I'm going to skip the story, but because we're just about run out of time, and I want to leave time to be able to pray afterwards. So as I said, when we meet together, we're not there to be showy. We're not there to be painted sepulchres. We're there to be with God. And God actually wants us to be there. You know, that's the amazing thing. He wants us to be spending time with him. And this made me think of my grandchildren. That tomorrow morning is the day, Monday is the day that this week we're having Ruby, my granddaughter. And I know that when I go and knock at the door, most probably she will see me through the glass door and she'll start running up the hall and her arms will be out and she'll be smiling. She'll be saying, Papa, Papa, because she's looking forward to coming to spend the day with me. You know, and I know from that reaction that she wants to be with me. And I get from that reaction that she loves me. And it's clear that, you know, she wants to be with me. And I can tell you what that does to my heart is indescribable. And the same applies to God, I think. You know, when we come to God, we come with all our problems. We come with lots of maybe preconceptions, but we come there to be with him because he wants us to be with him, to spend time with him, to have those conversations with him, to bless each other and to bless him. Thank you. Rachel, would you like to... I think Rachel's going to say a little bit about... a prayer chain that most of you will have seen over the last few weeks.
Thank you. Got me coming up with tears after that lovely picture of your granddaughter. Yes, I just wanted to take the opportunity and the benefits of being service leader of just sharing a little bit of testimony about my niece, Sophia. Partly because it's kind of transformed my thinking about the prayer chain, if I'm honest. I'm one of those people who... I don't feel particularly guilty about this. I pray about some of the things that come, and some of them I'm passing on, and I'm not always praying for them. But what I've noticed through this particular prayer chain is the blessing for me and my family, through the prayer here at Welton, and the people who've come and asked after Sophia. It's just been incredible. Is the prayer chain corporate prayer? We're all praying for one thing. It was said earlier, we're of one mind, one purpose. And actually, it's funny, isn't it, that something so kind of practical that can just go out so quickly... It does mean that we've all got the exact same words to be led by. And there's something powerful about the way that we do join together, even though some of us might be a bit poor at times at doing it. So, yeah, I just wanted to share... If we run through these photos, I'll do a very quick... there were times in the early days when Sophia was connected up to everything under the sun at the hospital, and it just showed me what amazing gifts the people and the processes in the hospital have. Do keep sort of scrolling. And this one, it's all these different machines. I was bowled over, really, that she was alive, in that if all of that needed doing, there was so much wrong. But this one is a bit more recent, after that big heart op. So basically, as I think you know, she was. We knew from 20-week scan that she was going to be born with a double hole in her heart, AVSD, it's called. And so it's where she's got holes in both sides, and they sort of join up. So one very big hole, but it's kind of double in that it goes between where there should be two valves, kind of joined up into one.
So, yeah, carry on through, Martin. We'll just sort of see. Oh, that's all right. And if... No, don't worry too much. This is actually before, because she had 3 weeks at home before her breathing difficulties showed up that she would need the operation much sooner than they hoped. They wanted her to have the operation between 3 and 6 months. And poor thing, got a lot of sticking plaster on her. So I think she had quite a bit of a clean-up afterwards. And this kangaroo has gone all the way through. That's going to be a precious toy, I think. This is after the op. Do apologise if anybody finds this medical stuff a bit gory, but that sort of funny, like, looks like bubble wrap is covering up the place where they went in and did this incredible surgery. You know, Katie said she looked at the surgeon's hands, and she had such fine hands, this Dutch surgeon. And, you know, it feels like a miracle. We know that wonderful skills created by God in these people have been employed, and prayer has been amazing. So this was one of the first times Katie got to hold her afterwards, because for all those weeks, a couple of months in total, that she was in NICU, you know, you can't really get your hands on. She tried as much as she could, but so first bath. So I just wanted to share that I was personally really encouraged. One of the first smiles since she's been coming round from stuff, and there are ongoing prayers. She's still struggling to come off all these opiates that she's been on for so long, and she gets to wear proper clothes now. So there's lots, so much to be thankful for. But feeling so blessed by your prayers, by people coming up and asking after her. Mark Fairweather just last week said that he'd been praying for her and God had given him a new tongue. He speaks in tongues, but he'd given him a new tongue to pray for Sophia. And that was, and he just felt in his spirit that things were going to be okay, had that connection, and just that he could trust. And that's the one thing I wanted to say as well is sometimes I think it's about sharing our trust, because there's times, aren't there, when we find it hard to trust. And certainly my sister's been having times when she's found it harder to trust. And to have those reminders from others that our trust in God is not dependent on what the outcome and the circumstance are, but just about him and us. And sometimes that coming alongside each other in those tough times is what you need to remind you of who God is. So we're going to go into a time of prayer now.